senses to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
I am so excited about today's program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Art Thomas. Have you been reading the word of God and been frustrated thinking, you know what? This is what God's word says. I believe it. But yet when you look around, you start thinking, what's going on? Well, today, imagine the last 5 years that this man's, our brother in the Lord, his ministry, he was in that same place, but he went from zero or a few, like most of us are seeing, of God touching people and healing people, to potentially over 3,000 miracles in the last 5 years, watching God move amongst his people. And the interesting thing is, too, is that God's moving and doing these miracles amongst his body. It's not necessarily just from him. It's almost like, just like Jesus said. So refreshing. As a matter of fact, with us today is Art Thomas. Art, how are you doing?
Doing great.
We're so glad to have you on the program today on VFN TV. Your ministry is so encouraging. I've devouring your material, reading what's going on, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Jesus, look what you're doing in your body. So just welcome.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about your testimony, in regards to, your journey, because I thought, I could so relate to what you're saying. You knew everything, right, until all of a sudden. Talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in church, born and raised in the Assemblies of God. I'm still part of that denomination. I loved the upbringing I had. We believed in healing. It was always something that was normal. But then here I am getting older. And I'm starting to wonder, where's the discrepancy? I'm seeing, we believe in it. We've got testimonies of it. Like, I was healed of a heart murmur as a baby. My dad had been like crippled for 7 years and ended up getting healed. And so there's like all these stories that we had and personal experiences with being healed. But then when it came down to actually, ministering to somebody else, that was off my radar. I had never seen anything like it. So, here I am, 17, 18 years old, starting to get encouraged about that stuff, still not seeing it. 25 comes, I've been church planting. I've been a youth pastor. I've got credentials in the AG. Mm-hmm. So I've done everything you're supposed to do.
Checked
and I'm
all
still
the boxes.
Not seeing, yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Still not seeing anybody healed through my ministry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of got to this point where I was like, you know, first of all, we had this woman in our church who was a dear friend of mine, and her son and I were good friends, went to school together. She passed away of cancer, believing that God would heal her. Right. And actually, she and her husband both had cancer, and she was not healed, but he was. Mm. And so I was left with this question and this processing, and I saw them believing till the end, like God wants to do it. And I wrestled with that, because at the time, I'm believing sometimes God wants to, sometimes he doesn't. Right. And I saw them chasing down people who had gifts of healing and things like that. And I started to actually wonder, like, you know, because I'm looking at people, I'm like, yeah, there are gifts of healing out there. It's biblical. That's real. Mm-hmm. And then I see these people who there are lots of healings following their ministry, but no healings following mine. And the way I always believed was, if I pray for you and you don't get healed, it's because it wasn't God's time.
Right.
But then if the guy with the gift prays for you and you do get healed, it was because of his gift.
Right.
As though the gift trumps God's will.
Yes, wow.
You know?
Yes.
So I realized, like, the gift does not trump God's will. Maybe the gift illustrates God's will. And so that kind of boosted my faith. I was like, wait a minute, something is amiss, because apparently it's not a timing thing. Apparently, like, this can happen if you've got a gift regardless of timing. So apparently God's timing, maybe the Bible's true when it says now is the day of salvation. Mm.
Yes.
When that Greek word salvation includes health and complete wholeness, body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
So, that put me on a journey. It's caused me to start questioning things. I set aside every podcast I was listening to, every book I was reading. Just went to the four Gospels, the book of Acts, and then listening and reading to people who either were doing the stuff or are, you know, they've passed on, but they were doing the stuff.
Right.
So John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, and then the contemporaries, Todd White, Bill Johnson, all these other folks saying, why are you seeing results and I'm not?
Yes.
And I was, you know, one of the very first things I saw was a video that Todd White did. And he said, you know, in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. And then he said, that means if these signs don't accompany you, there must be something up with your belief, which, of course, made me quite upset. You know, I got a little irate. I'm like, what are you saying, Todd? You saying I'm not saved? I mean, like, I'm a pastor. Come
on.
Right. And and I've had all this life change. You can't tell me my belief's wrong.
Yes.
So I decided there was two ways I could go. I could just, you know, throw Todd White out of the picture, or I could say, all right, let this challenge me and let it spur me on toward love and good works. I'm going to be like a Berean and see if what he says is true.
Right.
And along that journey, I started to find some common threads. The only common thread I found was all these people that I was reading and listening to, all of them believed that it was always God's will to heal. Mm. And that was a big challenge for me, because I had all my reasons why not, you know?
Yeah.
So I took every one of my questions, and I'm like a, this isn't a pride thing, but I know legitimately, I'm a logical thinker. I like to process through things. I bring all my arguments. I love to debate. Mm-hmm. And so I brought every question I had, from Paul's thorn in the flesh to Jacob's limp to, you know, Paul leaving Timothy sick and, or leaving Trophimus sick in Miletus, you know, like all this crazy stuff, and Timothy drinking the wine, all the questions I had.
Right.
And I realized, like, there was actually a legitimate, logical, biblical, exegetical, hermeneutical answer for every single one of those. And it finally, after writing a 40-page outline of my questions and the answers that arose, I finally settled on, all right, this is true, and I'm willing to believe it. Awesome. Now, I still hadn't done it, though.
Right.
So but I'm a youth pastor, and I'm now convinced of something that I see as true. Mm-hmm. So I get up in front of my youth group, and I preach it like I'm convinced, because I was convinced, but I'd still never done it. And I still, even though I was convinced that the message was true, I still wasn't sure that God would use me.
Right.
Because he never had before.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, I'm preaching on faith, not even knowing if it's fully true, but it's logical and it's biblical, so I'm going to preach it. So I start preaching it, and at the end I said, let's do an application time. Get all the kids together, get in groups of like 7 or 8. And we're going to, I was like, listen, just pray for each other.
Hey,
like,
right before, can we, I want to hear this whole thing together. We got to go to a break. Can we go to a break and come right back?
Because
this is so amazing. This is going to be encouraging to every believer and pastor out there. It's like, oh, I can do what he's about to do. As a matter of fact, we'll be right back after this break. This is amazing what God does in the ministry.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a public school remove all aspects of religion from the celebration of Christmas? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My stepdaughter had a Christmas pageant this year, and all the songs took out every reference to God. They rewrote all the words, Joy to the World, Silent Night, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Every reference to God was removed.
Tobin, do you happen to have a copy of the song sheet or the program from that event?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would love for you to get that fax to me. I'm going to put you on hold also. We're going to get your contact information. Let me get one of our lawyers working on this one as well, because this is not the way it's supposed to be. Hey, folks, if you've got contacts like this, like Tobin just had, and Tobin, you hang on the line. We're going to get some help down there. You contact us right through the website as well at aclj.org. We're monitoring those during the radio broadcast. So, again, you do that so we can make sure we can help you out on this situation.
Visit our Christmas Information Center on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to be talking about this awesome activation manual, paid in full, 40-day devotion to launch you into what Jesus launched you in. It's a powerful thing, so stay tuned, including a movie, a powerful movie of it actually happening. So we want to be talking about that as well. Art, we're here with Art Thomas, Art Thomas Ministries. Art, continue talking. You're a youth pastor. You know, you've set us up, and here you are. You're preaching something that you know is biblically sound. But tell us what happens there. What happens?
Sure, yeah. I've now told them God wants to heal always, and he wants to use you to do it. Mm-hmm. I have them break up into groups of like eight. I said, hopefully in your group, somebody has something wrong with them we can pray for. If not, I'm sure one of you has an aunt with cancer or something. Just practice. Right. And there was this group up front. We had an intern in our church named Josh. Being an intern, he had no money and no health insurance. So he had let an ear infection go.
I think we have a few interns right here at the studio, so they can relate to that.
Yeah, if any of you have an ear infection, don't let it fester. Because this guy had gotten really bad. He was in a lot of pain, and he'd lost a lot of the hearing in that ear even. Mm. So he didn't tell us about it till that day, but there's this group of seventh grade boys there with him, and they laid hands on him. They gave it a shot, and nothing happened. Mm. So Josh comes up to me, and he says, Pastor Art, I feel bad. What should I do? Nothing happened. Right. And I only knew what I had seen on YouTube and what I'd read in books and things like that. So I just went with what I'd heard. I said, tell them to do it again. Perseverance is biblical, right?
Right.
So they go back and they try again, and these kids, the seventh grade boys, they come up to me this time. They're like, we tried again. Nothing happened. Now what? Mm. Now, again, I'm just a youth pastor, and I believe this isn't going to work for me. So being a youth pastor, I'm just trying to be a smart aleck who comes up with something they didn't think of.
Right.
And I said, well, did you try this? And I stuck my finger in Josh's ear, and I said, open. And Josh gets this look of shock on his face, and he goes, oh, my gosh, that worked.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that worked? Like, you're kidding me. Like, I was more surprised than he was. And I learned in that moment that it wasn't so much about what I believed. It was about who I believed.
That's a powerful statement.
Like I didn't have to have all my theology figured out, because there were things I believed then about healing that now I've learned are not correct. Right. So it's like a lot of us are waiting for our theology to be perfect, when the word theology means the study of God. Mm. So as soon as you put God in this box and decide this is it, I'm done learning, you're no longer studying him, which means it's no longer theology.
Wow.
So I have to remain in this place where I'm studying him, learning him in the context of relationship with him. And if I know him, if I have this relationship with him, then out of that flows healing ministry.
That's kind of what confounded the Pharisees. They couldn't figure out when the fishermen were being used, right? Because they knew Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. And here's this Jesus guy saying, God's my father, and it's freaking everybody out,
Right, right.
So beyond that, I realized it also had nothing to do with my effort. Mm. Because until then, I had always, tried to squint my eyes tight enough or shout in tongues loud enough or push power out my arm or something to get the person healed. and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those things. I've seen a few of those things.
I'm sure we all have. Yeah, but this time, here I am just, I'm just joking. I'm not even trying.
Right.
And it happened, like, the guy gets healed by accident.
Wow.
So I realize the less I try, the more likely it is to happen. Because when I'm trying, when it's my effort, it's not trust. It's effort. And trust is a synonym for faith, you know?
Wow, that's very good.
So, yeah, that, I mean, in our American mindset, one of the things we do is we try to do something and it doesn't work. So our mindset is, all right, I have to try harder.
Right.
So we do. And if it doesn't work, then we try harder. So you got Aunt Nancy with cancer and we prayed for her cancer and she wasn't healed. So now, obviously, this is a tough one.
Right.
So we're going to try harder. And this time we're going to fast and pray for a week before we do it. And then she wasn't healed. So now what are we supposed to do? Do we fast and pray for a month? Do we, you know, get the prayer chain in on it? And we, you know, and we pull all these little extra things and it's all throwing more effort at this thing.
Works.
And exactly. Mm. And it's not about that. In the kingdom, if it didn't work, try less and trust more.
Wow.
Because trust is faith.
Say that again. In the kingdom.
In the kingdom, if it doesn't work, try less and trust more. Trying is more about my effort. See, I've learned that faith is doing everything I'm supposed to do and nothing of what God is supposed to do. Mm. I'm completely trusting Him to do the rest. So if I'm trying to minister to someone and I go beyond what my job is, they're probably it's really on a subconscious level, it's me thinking that God needs more help than He does. Yeah,
as if He did, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Guilty. I think we've all been there, you know, doing that.
Yep. So I've learned to kind of like disengage from feeling like I have to accomplish something.
Right.
No, there's no such thing as one condition that's more difficult than another. That all exists between our own ears. Jesus paid the exact same price for all of it.
I think what happened with me, I wish it would have happened at your age, at 25, but I got tired. So I had to start trusting God. I got tired. And it's like, I got more effective when I got weaker. It was amazing how that works, you know? It's a shame, right? So tell me about, so you're in this meeting, this gathering in a home, and you had some sort of angelic experience. What happened there with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a couple stories like that. Are you talking the prayer meeting where the angel appeared and the...
The presence of God is the, you know, is the
that's
key.
That's it.
You know?
It was, we were planting a church. This was probably 4 or 5 years before I got involved in healing ministry, but I was desiring it. It was something I wanted and craving. I was, you know, spending every paycheck on books about prophetic ministry and spiritual
The word tells us to do that, though. The word tells us to go after it.
Eagerly desire spiritual gifts.
Yes.
So that's what I was doing. And so I'm sitting there earnestly seeking God. God, I want the breakthrough in miracles. I want to see extraordinary things happening so that your kingdom can come and your will would be done here just like in heaven. And I'm crazy for this thing, and then this angel appears, not to my physical eyes, but real enough that my spirit recognized it, and I was kind of taken aback, like, okay, I need to pay attention right now.
Right.
This isn't just my imagination.
Right.
And in that moment, and I especially know it's not my imagination when the word that comes is correction.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it kind of shakes me out of my way of thinking.
Right.
So this appearance happens, the angel says, the only thing necessary for a miracle to happen is the presence of God. Mm. So stop seeking miracles and start seeking the presence.
Beautiful.
And I realized even in that, like, you know, God is always here.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm seeking Him to come from some otherworldly place.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm stopping for a moment and saying, wait a minute, He's here. I'm becoming aware of His presence right here, right now with me. And abiding in the fact that He abides with me.
Yes.
Like, if I abide in Him, He abides in me, is John 15. So resting in that changes everything.
Nothing can stand in His presence, so everything's got to go when He shows up. That's not of Him,
that's
right?
That's it.
Wow.
So healing ministry is a partnership. You know, if I put a block of wood in front of you, straddle it across your big armrest there, and hand you a saw, and I say, hey, saw this wood in half, then you do it.
Right.
Now I ask the question, who sawed the wood in half? Well, the easy answer is you did.
Right.
But then could you do it without the saw?
No.
And would the saw have done it without you?
Right.
So it's a partnership. Like, you could say you sawed the wood in half, but if not for the saw, you wouldn't have. So in Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus says to His disciples, you heal the sick.
Mm.
And it's not because the disciples can do it in their own strength. Like, He's going to give them power and authority to do the job. And so it's a partnership with Jesus, and legitimately that's what happens. When Peter and John are at the gate called Beautiful, and they, you know, the crippled beggar's there, Peter says to them, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Just like Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, "Freely you've received, now freely give. What I have I give you." But when they're questioned about it later, Peter says, "Why do you look at us?" As if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk. But it's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that's made this man well, as you can plainly see. So was it Peter or was it Jesus that healed the guy? The answer is yes. Was it you or the saw that sawed the board in half? The answer is yes. So it's all about partnership. And when I focus on the presence of God, realizing he's here, that his promise is true, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," I can rest in that. Like, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And so I can partner with him at any moment and see the breakthroughs happen.
And his desire is he wants everyone healed.
So
that's a given. Well, we come back from the break. I want to talk more about these experiences, and I'm excited about it. Talk more about your book and video and all that. We'll be right back. We're going to come back in just a moment. Stay tuned. We got so much more. I'm believing, like myself, you know, when I'm hearing what the Lord, with the bread that the Lord gave, or it's fed me, encouraged me. I believe this bread's encouraging you, because God's called all of us to move in the fullness of Christ and what he did. He said we can do an even greater things than these, all for his glory. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFNTV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series. And series, you just touch it and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words
and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. We need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Art Thomas. Art, my goodness, I know you were in Uganda, and you were ministering there, and as you were praying, I believe, for ears, or both ears and eyes, tell us what happened right there.
Yeah, October 2011, it's kind of a long story leading into it, but basically I went alone into the bush of Uganda to live with a guy who I didn't know if he was trustworthy, following the Holy Spirit, and it ended up being the turning point of my life, like probably the most influential half a month I've ever encountered. During that time, I saw more miracles than I had seen in my entire life previous, even having been doing healing ministry for a couple years by that point. Mm-hmm. And so here I was in this little village called Buchiri, way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, this was even, I think it was an hour and a half by motorcycle beyond the village where I was staying.
Wow.
So it was a long way out there. And when we arrived, you know, I'm preaching about God wants to heal and he wants you to do it, use you to do it. Mm-hmm. Cause this was a church. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we run into in Africa is we have, kind of the pastor and laity mindset, which you run into in America too.
Big time.
That says, you know, you've got the professional minister and then you've got everyone who gets ministered to, and they're not the ones who do any ministering.
Right.
So one of the things I bring over there is saying, look, this is for everybody to do. It's not just for you. So I get up and I teach the people how to do this. I said, you know, you don't need the man from America to come and heal you. You need Jesus to live inside of you. And because I'm going to fly home in a couple weeks here. And if one of you gets sick after that, that's tough luck, right?
Right, right.
But if I can teach you how to do this, then I can go home and never come back. And you're going to continue in the work of the kingdom. So I preached about it, I taught about it, and I said, all right, I want to demonstrate this for you and then let you minister to each other once you've seen how it works. So I said, is there anyone here who is, I think I said deaf or partially deaf? And it takes a while for someone to answer that question. But,
how do they hear you?
Yeah, they finally pointed out this deaf, I believe it was a woman in the back of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought her up to the front. And to be honest, like, this wasn't a spirit-led thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had just seen so many deaf ears and blind eyes open in the last, you know, week and a half that I was convinced it's always going to happen.
Right.
So it wasn't like the Lord told me to specifically do that. So when I saw one person come up, I was a little disappointed. So I just said, how about I, you know, blind or partially blind? And had them come up, and now there was like four or five others that lined up across the front.
Wow.
And so I went up to them, you know, and I said, you know, I want you to see how this works. I put my hands on the first person's eyes, said, eyes open in Jesus' name. Now, what's strange is in the moment, I heard nothing strange. I, you know, like it's just the ambient noises of an African room, you know, in a village.
Right. Right.
There's no electricity, no running water. I've had people blame this sound that happened on a fire hose or something outside. I'm like, are you joking? In the bush of Uganda?
Right.
So what happens is as soon as I put my hands on the first person's eyes, this sound starts real soft like wind and rain. And it starts to build. And by the time I get to the next person, it's this loud roar like when you have snow on your TV.
As a matter of fact, we're going to go to it right now. You've
got
to see this. Take a look. This is going to just bless your heart. Watch when he's praying for healing. Watch what God does.
so exciting. So that was going on while you were praying and after riding a motorcycle in the middle of nowhere to people. And what happened there in that moment? What was going on? I know that you were praying, but what did God do?
One of the strangest things about that, if you noticed in the clip, like I didn't hear anything. My translator heard nothing.
Wow.
The guy with the camera heard nothing. But if you notice, some of the people stand up and look out the window and then sit back down kind of confused.
Yes.
And it's bright, sunny day outside.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, the camera picked it up, and some people heard it, and some people, like me, heard nothing.
Wow.
So that was a pretty wild experience. And then the people.
And it was their faith. God needed to touch their faith to be healed.
Sure. I took that experience as God's way of showing, like reminding me, you're not the one who did this, it's me.
Yeah.
And it kind of like, I don't know, it brought my head out of the clouds. Like it would be easy for me to get super prideful about that experience.
Right.
But instead it was more like God saying, no, chill for a second. You think you're doing this, but it's me.
Right.
And after that, the people of the church ministered to each other, and there was about 30 others that were healed.
Wow, from blind eyes, from deaf ears?
Yeah.
Praise God. We don't have the clip right now, but we're going to make it available to you that also the man that was healed of his back injuries and his deaf, his ears, and that was just beautiful. And I love your perspective of, got so much we'll talk about in our time. Okay, it's not always your faith. It could be someone else's faith. Can you talk about that? Because everybody's trying to muster something up and just said he already did it on the cross. His blood paid for the healing and paid for our salvation.
Yep. Biblically speaking, you know, I have people ask me this all the time. What about all the times when Jesus said, your faith has healed you?
Right.
And the truth is, if you were to sit down and do a study, and I can tell you this because I've read a study someone else did, and it's all there, only about a quarter of the time did Jesus say, your faith has healed you. Mm-hmm. That's a minority. Mm-hmm. So this very small amount of time, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, Jesus said, you know, like the Syrophoenician woman comes on behalf of her daughter, and Jesus marvels at the woman's faith, and the daughter is healed. Mm. The centurion's servant comes on behalf of the centurion because the other servant is sick. And when Jesus hears of the centurion's faith through this servant, the other servant's healed. So it's like, and then the paralytic is lowered through the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man. So sometimes it's the person's faith. Sometimes it's someone coming on their behalf's faith. And then you've got the story of the epileptic boy, who Matthew 17, the disciples tried, they couldn't do it. The boy's father says to Jesus, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. Jesus says to the disciples, you couldn't do it because of your little faith. He says to the onlookers, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I put up with you?
Right.
So in this scenario, Jesus is the only guy there who's got faith.
Right.
And he drives the demon out of the boy and he's healed of epilepsy.
Right.
So what we have is healing can happen by my faith, by your faith, or by someone else's faith.
Right.
Which means, you know, if you're healed, I don't get prideful saying, look at all the faith I have, because it wasn't necessarily mine.
Right.
I also, you know, unless I noticed you had faith for it, sometimes I have no clue who had it.
Right.
So I don't self-analyze whether or not I have the faith for whatever miracle is needed in front of me. Because really, I'm just one component of many, and as long as somebody has faith, this person's getting healed. So if I just give it a shot, maybe they've got faith and I've got none, but they'll get healed because they have faith.
Right.
And I don't analyze whether or not they have faith because maybe I do or maybe someone watching does.
Right.
So I say just go after it every single time, no matter what it is. Don't analyze who's got faith or whatnot. Just give it a shot and see if someone does. If they're not healed, if they are healed, someone had faith. Praise God.
Yes.
Something happened. If they're not healed, no one had faith. Now, the tricky part there, though, is I never put the weight of responsibility on the person because Jesus never did.
So in history, they would say, you remember, I'm sure you studied all the Amy Simple and Fierce and all that.
Uh-huh.
Look at you. You just didn't have faith. And that poor person's already sick. And now they're carrying this burden of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's nothing biblical about that.
No.
When the disciples couldn't heal the epileptic boy,
right.
Jesus didn't come down from the Mount of Transfiguration and say, oh, well, yeah, little epileptic boy. Your job is to have more faith. So just believe a little more,
right.
And they're going to lay hands on you again, and we're going to see this miracle happen. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
And he also didn't look at the boy's father. I think that's something else we run into, parents of children who have these, you know, terminal diseases.
What have I done wrong? What's happening?
Yeah.
All these things.
And I get letters all the time from parents who are wondering, what am I doing wrong? I'm trying to believe in faith. And the fact is, the weight of responsibility is never on them either.
Right.
even for a Christian, the biblical prescription for a Christian who is sick, James 5, 14 and 16, is to go to the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. Right. If you get healed because you confessed the right promises, praise God. I'm not going to take that away from you.
Right.
But if you're not getting healed that way, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to feel bad because that's not prescribed in the Bible anyway. There's no scripture verse that tells you you have to do that to obtain your healing. What it does say is go to other believers who are mature to lay hands on you and you will be healed. So the sick person's responsibility is only to go to other people for ministry. That's it. If it doesn't happen, the responsibility's on me. Because when the disciples asked why couldn't it happen in Matthew 17, Jesus' response was because you had so little faith.
Yes.
Now, the other part here is that was collectively. He didn't single one of them out like, you, Bartholomew, you were the one who doubted. You know?
I knew it was you, Bartholomew. I just knew it was him.
Exactly.
Not me.
So, this is about us collectively as the body of Christ walking in this together.
Mm-hmm.
If someone isn't healed after the whole church prayed for them, that is not an indictment on that person or an individual in the church. Instead, it is a challenge to the whole church to say, we collectively are not partnering with Jesus in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what needs to change so that for this specific thing we can partner with him?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's a lot of things I've learned over the years of asking the Lord, why couldn't I do what you could have done? Because that's what the disciples did. Why could you drive out the spirit that we couldn't?
Yes.
I ask him, why couldn't I? And a lot of these things, but one of the most common is I'm trying too hard.
Mm.
I'm putting forth a measure of effort that is expecting I need to do this or God won't act.
Right.
When really there's one default in scripture. The default is lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't even say you have to say anything.
Mm.
Now, we do these things in his name, so we speak with authority in his name because that's one of the things demonstrated in scripture. So the default, Luke 9:1, Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples to drive out all demons and cure diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we've got two tools. We've got power and authority. Those are our defaults. If God's not speaking to you some specific word that gives you clarity about what you're supposed to do in that moment, just go with the default. Lay hands. And if it's a case where the person needs to know that you're speaking on behalf of Jesus, you speak to it in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Awesome.
And then have them test it out. That's it.
That's beautiful.
And outside of that is if the Holy Spirit speaks to you something specific, like rub mud in the blind man's eyes, which thankfully he's never told me to do, because if I get that wrong, it's going to sting.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
So it's like you follow the Holy Spirit, you give it your best shot. If it doesn't work, you take note of that. Okay, I tried something that didn't work. That wasn't the voice of God.
Right.
I'm not going to go around making people jump through hoops for them to be healed based on every whim that I have.
Right, which is true theology. We're constantly learning how we would work with God. We're going to go to a break. Be right back in just a moment because I'm going to talk more about that. Now, actually, we'd love for you to talk also in a future program about the 10 things that Jesus didn't say about healing, which is so powerful. You got to get this book. I'm telling you, as I'm doing this 40-day devotion that they put together that goes with this video, this movie that was excellently done about it doing it, just doing it. And it goes right in line with this manual. God spoke to me in a dream. It just corrected me in a dream about how, when I'm praying for people, I'm telling, this is God. This is biblical. It's what he wants us to do. It's scriptural. It's not some idea. We're just going back to God's original intent for his church. So join us after this break. We're going to talk more.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I had cancer, and it was a glioblastoma multiforme tumor, which is stage 4 cancer.
I got the flu really bad, and I went to the hospital, and I was in kidney failure. Turns out I had a degenerative kidney disease.
I broke my pinky toe.
Yeah. More so my right ear, but my left ear not as much.
I sprained my MCL.
I hurt myself real bad. And now I get a new ear.
But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
we just started praying, and the tumors just started disappearing.
And I went in for the ultrasound, and my kidneys had actually regrown the membrane within that 6 months, and the doctor came in and said, you're completely healed.
And the next day I got prayed for, and my pinky toe totally got healed.
Wow, that's excited. That's excited.
Everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. He did not ignore the sick. It was a mission of his to see the sick healed.
You got to realize that it's based on Christ and it's based on our obedience to what he says to do.
He never intended for his creation to walk in sickness and disease and weakness, and he wants to bring about restoration.
Speaking about Jesus, but without showing the power of Jesus, you are meaning nothing to people.
The price was paid in full at Calvary. That's where the price is paid for. Our job is to work out how we get the realities of heaven to earth.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be just like our daddy, to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
We know who God is. We know what Jesus can do. We just don't know what we can do. And it says we can do all things.
Welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. I am with Art Thomas, and we're so excited about, you know, what God is doing this day and the fullness of what he said is true. And Art, you're just so encouraging to us, and I'm grateful for you. I'm just so grateful for you.
Thanks.
And I just love your giving heart, and you just want to see it. You want to see the kingdom. And it's just beautiful. I want to talk about this because this is a good question that many people will want to ask is, you know, why aren't some people healed, and how you work that through? I love the way how you take it back and you talk to us about that.
Yeah, it kind of branches off of what I was sharing earlier. Every single person who came to Jesus was completely healed of whatever condition they had. There are 9 different scripture passages that all say it one after the next from the 4 Gospels and the book of Acts. And, I mean, one of the chief ones that I think is important because it actually affects us is in Acts 10:38. There's this sermon that's going on, and it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, me personally, my theology, I agree with John 1 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. I believe Jesus was and is God, but when I read that passage, it's saying, you know, God, the Father, anoints Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he heals all because God was with him. So in John 5:19, Jesus says the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees his Father doing, which correlates to Philippians 2, where we find out Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant like you and me, even to the point of a criminal's death on a cross. So we have Jesus, who is in very nature God in the flesh, but he sets aside that equality with God for the sake of walking among us and showing us what it looks like when a human being walks sin-free in right relationship with God the Father, and then pays the price to make it possible for you to be sin-free in right relationship with the Father. So whatever Jesus could do when he walked this earth, we can do. And that's not just some extrapolation from all these different verses. Jesus actually said those words in John 14:12. He said, anyone who believes in me will do the same things I've been doing. In fact, greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. So, Jesus made this, his ministry on earth, the low water mark for where we can be, and then said, you can do more than that.
Wow.
And if Jesus healed absolutely everyone who came to him,
all right.
Yeah, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that every time someone's in front of me that needs healing, it is always God's will to heal them right then, right there.
Right.
Now, how many people do I see healed? Well, I don't keep a tally for a percentage or anything. I do know that probably more than 50%, at least in terms of the conditions I encounter.
You have gatherings, too, where 100, even 100%. Well, tell us about what those.
Yeah, we've had roughly 20 gatherings where we've seen 100% results.
Wow.
And about a quarter to a third of those have been in the United States.
And this is everybody laying hands on everybody, not like one big wig running around and everybody running after a person. They're actually, and God gets the glory with this, did you realize that?
That's it. I usually only minister to one or two people.
That's beautiful.
Anyone who's seen my YouTube videos sees it happen at the end. I'll sometimes demonstrate on somebody or do it at the beginning or do it in the middle or something, use it as a teaching tool, and then turn everyone loose on each other. And then we just take testimonies like popcorn because people are getting healed left and right throughout the congregation.
Yes.
And, it's thrilling. It's exciting. One of the recent meetings I was at, there was about 150 people there, and we had about 30 or 40 healings take place in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I said,
what kind of healing?
A lot of conditions they had, like knee problems, hip problems, and one guy set down his cane and walked across the stage.
Wow,
it was just pandemonium, and I asked the congregation, how many of you, this is the most miracles you've ever witnessed in your life, you just saw in the last 20 minutes? And it was probably like 2/3 of the room raised their hands. They were just blown away.
I'm so excited. Time is running so short. Please stay with us for another program. I want to talk to you about some things, but I want to tell you what happened to me. I'm reading the devotion, the devotion that you put together based on the movie, and every day it's just perfectly set up, where it's not some huge thing, you know how Americans are a little bit. And I'm reading it, and I'm really praying, I'm listening, the wisdom that God has laid out. I watched the DVD, how it lined up, and God spoke to me in a dream, and he showed me praying for someone. And you know how in ministry, after a while, you just kind of throw it off on God, like, Lord, heal them, because you get tired of all the other stuff, right? And in the dream, the Lord corrected me and said, no, don't tell me about that. You tell it about me in regards to just deal with it, and speak to that sickness. Can you talk to get like less than a minute, probably talk about that?
Sure. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. You heal the sick. So it's our responsibility. If you look at the pattern throughout the Gospels and the Book of Acts, you see people ministering healing. Never once do you see someone ask God to do what he told us to do. You can't find a place where someone says, Heavenly Father, would you please heal this person? Instead, you see, rise up and walk, take your mat and go home. What do you see? Open. Rebukes the fever, those kind of things.
Well, that takes ownership then. We have to own our walk in God. We're coming to an end. Join us about 10 things that Jesus did not say about healing, if you will. But I want you to pray for our audience. There's so many people that are hungry to begin to, what they read, they want to see in their own life. Can you just pray for them now?
Yeah, right now in Jesus' name, I speak blessing over every listener.
Yes.
you will see the sick healed. Step out, yes. Speak with authority, trust Jesus. If it's not working, try less, trust more.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the hearts and minds of the people paying attention to this teaching right now.
Yes.
I pray that they would be activated right away. And right now, for every person who needs healing, I speak healing to you in Jesus' name. Be completely whole. I'm hearing stomach issues, knee pain, back pain. Someone's got a migraine headache, and you're watching this anyway. In fact, it's been hard for you to watch the screen. But Jesus wants to heal you right now. Migraine headache, go in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now, whatever your condition is, whatever it is, whether I mentioned it or not, test it out. Try to do something you couldn't do right now and see what the Lord has done. I think you're going to be surprised at what's happened.
Awesome. Well, we want to hear about it. Make sure you contact us at 844-40-VFN-TV or at VFNTV.com. And join us in our next program because I got some more questions I want to be able to ask Art. And we just thank God for him. Bless his ministry, and we're just thankful for Art. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.